Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, May 9th, 2024, and today we are reading in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter, There Is a Solution, on page 18, the fifth paragraph, last paragraph on the page, starting with that the man who is making the approach, following on to page 9, finishing out that paragraph, may take up their beds and walk again, focusing on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you to an awesome team Thursday for the month of May, Tamara C., Katie G., Kathy S., Katie F., Joni C., our newcomer greeter, Chris W., and our host for the awesome second unrecorded hour, Nancy C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, May 8th, 7 a.m., 21,384. For the 10 a.m. meeting, 21,385. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Katie F. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Katie, and thanks for subbing in.
Good morning. This is Katie F., a recovered compulsive overeater. And here we have the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Katie F. I will now ask for Joni C. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured, from Minnesota. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Joni C. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time or hear the beeper in the background. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press 1, star 1, to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study in the chapter, There Is a Solution. We are on page 18, the fifth paragraph, and I'm going to ask Tamara C. to get us started. Please go ahead, Tamara. Can't wait.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. That the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulties, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we've found most effective. After such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. So that last phrase, take up their beds and walk again, is a reference to a miracle. And it is a miracle for us. For me, it has been a miracle because it's not something I can do for myself. And it's not something that any other human could do for me. Part of my miracle is being abstinent. And sometimes, to be honest, I forget that. I kind of take it for granted. And then I'm reminded. It might be like I have a dream of compulsive overeating, or I'm working with someone who is suffering, or I'm yesterday I did a 10th step and in the feedback I got was a reminder that I'm going through this abstinently. And I thought, yes, it's such a miracle. Wow, that I'm not constantly obsessed with food all day long, thinking about food in that miserable, dark, painful place. That's a miracle. And then this rearrangement of my thinking is a miracle that also I cannot do for myself. It's been a gradual process for me of growing on this road of recovery, but I can't do that for myself. My sponsor can't do it for me. My recovered fellows can't. But humans have been involved in an effective approach that has connected me to this miracle. My higher power does the miracle, but people have been involved. And the approach that has been effective for me is that these people have had the same difficulty as me. I have found that so reassuring that there's no judgment. There's just a desire to be helpful because they get it. They identify with me. And it's not just the eating, but like as my sponsor shines the light on my old ideas, my inventory, my character defects, she'll often pause to reassure me that she gets it because she has shared the same difficulty. And that helps me just relax, helps my ego relax. Like, she's not judging me. She's just sharing her experience, strength, and hope. And then I can be open to see the truth. And then the paragraph talks about that this man has a real answer. And that's what vision has been for me. It's been effective when other meetings haven't, because there's been a discussion of what is working, what worked for the original people who started this program, and what is working for people today. So keep coming back, keep listening, keep identifying in, and be reassured that those who have found a way out of the darkness, we just want to be helpful because we get it. I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Tamara C. All right, so we're going to take some more shares about what was read. Although we value your experience, strength, and hope, if you shared on either Tuesday or Wednesday, we ask that you stand back a little bit and let others share their experience, strength, and hope as well. So who would like to share on what was read?
Alice,
that is the UK.
Missouri.
Janet B.
Okay. The only thing I got out of that was Janet B. So I know there was someone from England, but everybody came in at once. So could we try again, please?
Liz E, UK.
All right, Liz E. And then there was Howard. What was that?
Alec, A-L-E-C from Missouri.
Okay.
Alec B.
Okay, Alec B. All right.
Talia G from Minnesota.
Holly, did you say? Oh, Talia.
Talia. Mm-hmm.
Talia B?
D is in dog from Minnesota.
Okay, Talia D. All righty.
Pedro W.
Pedro. I got Pedro. And who was after Pedro? I heard someone.
Leslie W.
Somebody W. Could you say again? Was it Nessa W?
It's Leslie W.
Leslie, I'm so sorry. It keeps cutting out. All right, so Leslie W. All right, so was there anyone else that I might have missed or wants to get on?
Pardon me, what page, please?
We are on page 18, the fifth paragraph. All right, so Janet B., Liz E., Alec B., Talia D, Pedro B, and Leslie W. All righty, let's get going. Janet B, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Janet B, recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So in this paragraph, there's like 9 different aspects of what a successful sponsor call should be. And I'm just going to hone in on one where it says that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer. Well, I think obviously it doesn't mean that we shout. I mean, I've had lots of sponsors through the years, and unfortunately I've had some who did shout at me. And, you know, although, yeah, I could still do the work, it made it harder because it made it harder to be honest because I would be trembling in fear of, you know, getting yelled at or something. So I don't think we're supposed to shout, right? The book is so clear all throughout. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And love seeks to make people feel
comfortable. Not that we enable them, because what does it tell us? That we have a real answer. So here's the real answer that was given to me for my first 6.5 years. Great, you admit you're powerless. Here's a food plan. Stick to it. Well, that would be like the time I had to go to the hospital because I had pneumonia, and the doctor coming in and saying, yeah, we just took an x-ray of your lungs. We see you've got pneumonia. Now go make your steroids. I mean, that would be crazy. The doctor gave me steroids. He gave me antibiotics. And so he had to give me something because I was powerless on my own to overcome the pneumonia. And I was powerless on my own to have a food plan. So what's this real answer? I'm just honing in on page 25 where it says, the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do for ourselves. So the real answer is God and getting a relationship with God, not just a belief in God. I always had that, but I treated him like Santa Claus. Here's my list, fulfill it. But a God who I can surrender my life to because I've trusted, I've learned in step two to come to believe that he loves me, that he cares about me, and that he could remove this food obsession. And then I surrender my life to him. And then what does he do? He enters into my heart and my life in a way which is miraculous and commence to do things that I couldn't do for myself. I couldn't keep the food down for 30 days. I often couldn't make it to work without binging. And he removed the food obsession. And that is the real answer we have, that there really is a God who's alive and well and is still in the miracle business. As it says in our chapter, A Vision for You, the age of miracles is still with us. And these 12 steps just show us how to get there. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janet B. from North Carolina. Okay, Liz E., you're up, followed by Alec B. Go ahead, Liz.
Good morning, everybody. This is Liz E. for Elegant from Bristol in Southwest England. Thank you very much for everybody doing service here today. This paragraph's really beautiful, like every paragraph in this book. Sorry, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And for me, this is just really kind of confirming that I am no different to any other compulsive overeater in this room, whatever stage of their journey they are at. We are all equal. And, you know, every day for me is day one. You know, when I talk to a new prospect, you know, that's such a privilege. And, you know, I need to do that. And that's an important part of step 12. And it really helps me. But it's talking to me here saying not having an attitude of holier than thou. It's really important how we approach any of this with love and tolerance. And also, you know, with some gentle boundaries, just being clear about how I can be helpful. I can share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a technical counselor. And also, I love that it says here, there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind. It really is just a beautiful connection of fellowship. And it's there if somebody wants it. I generally say to anybody I talk to, God chooses my sponsees. I don't choose them. If you like what I have, then, you know, and God wants us to connect, then I will work with you. And, you know, no lectures. It's not my job to be, you know, a professor or a lecturer or a teacher. It literally is. I share my experience, strength, and hope with love and tolerance. And it's really useful to be reminded of all of this again. And with that, I pass. Thanks a million, everybody.
Thank you so much, Liz E. from Bristol, Southwest England. All right, Alec B., good morning. It's your turn.
Good morning. This is Alec B. from St. Louis, Missouri. I've not shed in line for a while because I'm not a grad student. I was in the middle of exams and projects. And yet, right, even with that busyness, where in the past that sort of stress would have been, you know, overwhelming and led me into the food and led me into the control and all of those things, these steps, and more importantly, our God, helped kept me going. And that word helped, right? That's what I wanted to share this morning. This is helpful. That it's not about taking things away. It's not about limiting me, hurting me, forcing me, you know, whatever those things could do. Though it is hard, and there are sacrifices and there are challenges, ultimately this whole program is about helpfulness, that each one of you wants to help me, and I want to help you. We want to help each other, and our God, our higher power, wants to help us. Right? I love that at the end of this. Take up your mat and walk. That the help we need just to walk through this life that's hard, that's complex, with compulsion, with unfreedom. Like everybody, every person, every human being struggles with some disordered attachment or another. I'm convinced of that. And yet we are helped day by day by our God who knows us and loves us and calls us to freedom and calls us to walk in joy and in love. And so for me, staying close to that God, staying close to the principles of surrender, of honesty, of trust, of selflessness, insofar as I can in my limited human capacity, that's the path to joy for me. And how, you know, that text, take up and walk, I mean, that's 2,000 years old, and yet still today we resonate with it, because that's still the invitation to be moved from despair to hope, from being paralyzed to being able to walk, from death to life, from slavery to freedom. And that's what I've experienced in this program. I love what we just heard, that it's every day is the first day, one day at a time, absolutely, right? Today I'm invited yet again to live my day in freedom, and that's what I pray for every morning. I say, Lord, you know, after meditating on whatever, spending time with the Lord quietly and then ending with intercession and petition, asking, give me another day of abstinence, another day of peace, another day of freedom. And that's what I ask for, because that freedom, that peace, helps me to then be helpful to others so that we all can walk towards a world that is more peaceful and more free. And so I'm really glad I'm here. I'm glad to have stumbled into this program that had led me feeling so embarrassed for so long, but now I can see it as a real gift in my life. And thank you for this. Even though I wasn't sharing on the line, I received calls from several people, which just reminds me that we are all here called together to help one another for the building up of a new world and kingdom. And so with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Alec B. from St. Louis, Missouri. All righty, Talia B., followed by Pedro B. Go ahead, Talia.
Hi, this is Talia, like Natalia. D as in dog, and I live in Edina, Minnesota. And I guess what spoke to me in this paragraph is that I guess just that where it says that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, and no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions that we have found most effective. I haven't shared on the line in all honesty, probably since January. I have been, was back in the food and just in and out and couldn't get out. And I think I kept trying to pray it away or think my way into right action instead of, like Harlan always says, act your way into right thinking. And anyways, something happened on Sunday and I miraculously was sent a Zoom workshop. And the point is I swallowed my pride, humbled myself, and reached out to my sponsor who was working with me, and I just asked for help. And I think that, like, she didn't lecture me, she didn't yell at me, she didn't make me feel guilty or upset. She was so kind and said she was actually grateful and happy to hear from me, and I just couldn't believe it, because I think a lot of my dishonesty is I would always try to please people or say yes or be like the perfect sponsee and stuff, and just all the shame and guilt that comes with it. But the fact that everyone has been so welcoming and loving and been so excited to talk to me has just been so such a blessing, and I'm so grateful. And I've never found that before, like anyone not in my family or anything, like that where people wouldn't make me feel bad or what happened to you or how could you do this, where have you been, but everyone instead is just really loving, and I don't have to be someone I'm not. So I just have that sincere desire to be helpful. So I just wanted to be honest and say that and say thank you. And this truly is such a miraculous program, and none of this healing and everything would be able to be done if we didn't have this approach. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia D. from Minnesota. All righty. We have Pedro B. followed by Leslie W. We're going to take some more names. Just a friendly reminder to everyone, if you got on a little late, we are on page 18 on the fifth paragraph, that the man who is making the approach following onto the page 19, take up their beds and walk again. Okay, Pedro, please go ahead.
Okay, can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. Very happy and glad to be here this morning, working on today, staying afternoon today. The goal is till I go to bed. For me, what jumped at me was this idea that new prospect is man with a new reality that he has married to another, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, you know, and it's like that is it's gotta be my motivation. See, if I am approaching, if somebody else is overweight, somebody else is sick, somebody else has a spirituality, that's all I need is the desire to be helpful, nothing else. I'm not better than or less than anybody. We are the same boat. And it remind me what it says. I forget. I think it's page 77 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That sentence that I love, that it says, our real purpose is to be your maximum service to God and the people about us, period. That's it. You know, keeping it simple. Talking about simplicity, you know, I have heard, you know, so many times that this is a simple program. Not easy. Easy? No, not easy. But simple. Simple, but not easy. But it's, you know, it's doable. We're doing it at the other time, and we're not cured of eating. What we have is a daily reprieve. That's my 3 minutes. I heard it.
No,
you okay.
Got 50 anyway. Seconds. Nope, you're good.
50 seconds or 15?
50, 45 now.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Big number. Big number. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, I feel like I'm getting it, you know, I'm getting it little by little. And I feel a little bit more relaxed. And I don't know, there's something happening here, and I don't know what it is. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Pedro, from Pedro B. from California. All righty, Leslie W., you're up, and then we're going to take a few more names.
Hey, Amy.
Good morning,
thank you,
Leslie.
For your service. Hey, good morning. Thank you for your service. Amy, this is Leslie W., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, formerly from Tennessee, and now I am living in Atlanta, Georgia. What is an axe to grind? It's to have a selfish reason or strong opinion that influences your actions. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I came into this program, the people that I felt that I had to please in my life in order to be okay, in order to feel okay, in order to feel loved, there was always an agenda. And I always felt like people had an agenda, only I didn't realize it. You know, I really just felt like as long as I did what was expected of me, as long as I, you know, performed up to the level that they expected, then I would be rewarded. And that reward was love and admiration, love, acceptance. So it's a very dangerous and unfulfilling way to live, because when you make people your God, you're chasing around a moving target. And even if you hit it, it's never going to stay in the same location. It's going to keep moving around. And for me, coming into this program and feeling that unconditional love, truly unconditional, not just people saying they love me unconditionally, but not behaving that way, you know, but really just a place of acceptance. You know, there's nothing, I'll never forget rolling into my first face-to-face OA meeting and sitting down in that chair, and I was 31 years old, and I could literally, I would tell you that is the first time in my life that I ever felt like I was in the presence of people who didn't want something from me, who didn't expect something out of me, whose love was not conditional, they didn't place any conditions on me. They just wanted to help me. That kind of sacrificial love is rare. And that is one of the greatest gifts that we can give our sponsees, but not just our sponsees, but also our fellows in recovery. And then that translates into all other areas of our life. Okay. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Leslie W. from Georgia via Tennessee. All right, I don't know which it is on the contact, but my guess, Tennessee, but we'll fix it to Georgia. All right, moving along, who else would like to share on page 18, fifth paragraph? Sorry, guys. Liz W.
Joshua W.
Was it Liz W. first?
No, Joshua W.
Joshua W.
Duane W.
Okay, but who was that? W.
Sue Ann.
Sue Ann.
Yes.
Anita J.
Okay. Anita J. Okay.
Pat A.
Tony B.
I think I've got time for another one or two. Going once.
Stephanie R.
Twice. Okay, Stephanie R. All right.
Patty O.
I've got Patty O. So hopefully we can get you in, Patty. Alrighty. Let's go with Suzanne W., Ashua W., sorry if I butchered that, Anita J., Pat A., Tony B., Stephanie R., and Patty O. Good morning, Suzanne, or Sue Ann. Your turn. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, and thank you for your service. My name is Sue Ann W. I'm from Pennsylvania. Interestingly enough, I have a hard time planning what I'm going to say because I am so interested in what everybody else has to say. I haven't been here for a while. And this a little sentence really speaks to me. They have nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful. I have always been told by a friend of mine, just try to be helpful. If you're in a bad mood, try to be helpful to other people. I don't know why it works. Just somebody come up and give me a hug, and I was like, what's that for? I said, who are you? He said, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm coming back from relapse. I have about 3 days abstinent, and I'm so happy to be here. I can never think of what I want to say when I'm speaking. But I believe a miracle happened to me last night. I looked at something that I knew was not my food, and I looked at it, and I just know. And that was God, and that was God. And also, I was able to participate in an event yesterday that was so overwhelmingly I'm so overwhelmingly grateful that I was able to participate in this event. And then I was able to fix an abstinent meal for myself and my girlfriend at my house. I truly blessed, I feel that. And she liked it. So I feel truly blessed. And I'm so grateful to be back at this meeting. Thank you for having me share.
Thank you so much, Sue Ann from Pennsylvania. Sue Ann W. from Pennsylvania. Welcome back. Awesome. All right. Next up is Ashua W. followed by Anita J. Good morning, Ashua.
Good morning. This is Ashua W. from Vermont, A-D-W-O-A. I would really welcome calls. I am really just trying to call, and I'm trying to have my voice be heard every fourth day until I have the courage and time and will to call the person who has been my sponsor. And I am so grateful for a mistake that I made around food a few weeks ago that led to me now committing my food, which is something I hadn't done. And, you know, my food is delicious and also clean, which is just such a joy. And I know what I'm going to eat today, and I'm not thinking about it at all, which is just so lovely. I love this paragraph, and I'm just so amazed at how hard it is for me to believe that people don't want anything from me, that when I mess up or I fall away or I get overwhelmed by my life, and the sort of overuse of myself and time, that people aren't hating me for that. I just, the shame around that and seeing it where it is in my family and wishing I were past that and thinking I was past that and seeing and knowing that I'm not. So I've really had a hard time just trusting that people who are farther along than I am, not just in this program, but in previous experiences, that they aren't looking down on me, that they don't judge me or pity me or whatever, that they just want to help and love. And the vulnerability of saying, on the one hand, you are my fellow, you are my equal in God, and on the other hand, I need you. That's okay. It's okay to need support, which I know in my heart, and I cannot get to my fingers and the phone or my actions. And so I'm doing what I can with the food and being abstinent and honest, and I'm asking for phone calls because it is easier for me to pick up than it is for me to dial. And I am going to keep speaking until I can call And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for our fellowship. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joshua W. from Vermont. Okay, Anita J., you're up. Can you please share what was read?
Yes, I can. This is Anita J., and thank you. Thank you, Amy. I'm from Massachusetts. You know, I, for years, had such shame over the fact that I came into this Overeaters Anonymous in 1978 when I was around 40. And it wasn't until 2014, February 4th, 2014, that I finally picked up that bed totally and walked again. And I had a lot of shame around that. But I read this, and it seems to me now that that's my greatest gift to pass on. It doesn't matter what the past was. It doesn't matter because it worked. It still worked. Whether you got it the first day you came in, which I know someone like that, 20-something years ago, or if it took this long to totally trust a higher power. And yes, along the line, I've heard various things, sometimes encouragement, sometimes condescension. But that's not my higher power talking. And people can only pass on as recovered as they are. They can't pass on more, just like I can't. I keep learning and learning, and you'd have to pry this book away from me because it still keeps giving me more gifts. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts. Okay, good morning, Pat A. It is your turn, followed by Tony V.
Good morning. My name is Pat H. from Florida.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So grateful for this program. 13 years ago, I walked in the rooms at age 60, 80 pounds heavier than I am today, and went because a counselor had suggested that I might want to try Overeaters Anonymous. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. And I wanted to sit in the back of the room and just get out of there as fast as I could, but people started speaking, and I heard their stories, how they were hiding. They used to hide food, which is what I was doing. They used to eat it frozen. They used to buy food to replace what they had taken, hid wrappers. And I could not stop eating and thought I was hopeless. But these people were normal weight, and they were extremely gracious and kind and welcoming to me. And what really sealed the deal for me was that I was living at the time in central New York in March. It was cold and snowy. And one of them said they would go to their closet soon and take out their spring clothes, summer clothes, and they knew that they would fit. And I was like, oh my God, that has never happened to me in my whole life. And I wanted what they had. These were normal, happy, joyous, free people. I wanted what they had. I didn't know what it was that they were talking about with a higher power. Is this some kind of cult? I had no idea. At that point, I didn't care. I wanted what they had. And I waited several weeks and I got a sponsor. And that sponsor took me through the steps. And she met with me hours a week. We would go for walks. I'd go to her house. We'd walk her dog, and she would talk program with me. And I was just, I could not understand how this person could be so free with her time with me. I often asked if I could pay her. You know, I had never had that experience of someone giving so freely and not looking for anything in return. And she kept saying, this helps me too. And I did not get it. Until I started sponsoring others, did I get that that's really the truth, that you get back what you give to others. And what I say to others is exactly what I need to hear, and what they tell me, I learn from them all the time. And only by the grace of God am I able to be abstinent today. I have truly surrendered that I cannot do this myself. I am sick. I need help. I can't do it alone. And only by the grace of God am I able to be abstinent today. Thank you, God. Every day I get on my knees and I thank my higher power for that. This was a wonderful program, and it's the only thing that's ever worked for me my whole life. And it's not just about the food. It's about me having sanity and calmness and acceptance of myself. I feel comfortable in my own skin today. Thank you, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat H. from Florida. All right. Tony B., you're up, followed by Stephanie R.
Thank you very much, moderator, and thank you, everybody. My name's Tony B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Oh, it's so good to be on this line and hear you all and hear you talking about this wonderful paragraph. I had some thoughts on it myself that I thought I would share. You know, my sincere desire to be helpful, that comes from God, and I must have God as this central fact in my life. And I ask myself, am I a woman with a real answer? And yes, if I rely on God, I'm a woman with a reliance on God, and he is my real answer. And so, definitely need that trust in my higher power. And the directions here, there are clear-cut directions here in this book of ours and the steps that we need to take. And if we're a real compulsive overeater, as I myself am, we have the need for entire abstinence. So I pass that on. Well, I ensure that who I'm working with is the real deal, and then pass on what I know. But it's not just about knowledge, you know, from the book. It worked for me, and it is working for me. So, you know, it's not just head knowledge. It's definitely beginning anyway to go down into my heart and you know, really reside there. And this sentence obviously knows what he's talking about. Well, I'd better ask God, you know, sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I'd better make that connection and get the guidance from the higher power. So, yeah, those were my thoughts. Just so grateful to be in this God-centered program with all of you. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. All right, Stephanie R., you're up, followed by Patty O. Looks like we can get both you guys in. Go ahead, Steph.
All right. Hi, Stephanie R., recovered from Missouri. And I wanted to claim my seat today and really express the gratitude I had when I first came into my very first meeting. I was, truly close to feeling very suicidal. I didn't know why I felt so unable to control my food, why I was so unhappy, why I didn't want to live a life because I had no joy at that time. When I walked in those rooms, everybody looked different. There was just no one that looked like me, actually, but they all welcomed me with such warmth and with such acceptance. And I didn't know anything about abstinence. I didn't know anything about recovery. I didn't know anything about the big book. I just knew that I needed to find another way to live. And after that meeting, it was such a flood of emotion and such an unbelievable state of acceptance that I went through what I knew would make me feel better, which was the food at the time. I went and had a binge, and then I went back to see these people again, and I didn't have to binge after the second meeting, and I stayed. And I learned how to become abstinent, and that was such a beautiful gift that I didn't understand the what it was to recover spiritually. And I didn't understand that until I actually came to A Vision for You. And then I really understood what recovery meant. But that acceptance and that joy that I experienced with my first meeting with the group that I went to has never really left me. And if I could pass on just a little bit of that joy to someone else, let them know I accept you just as you are, and I will love you until you can love yourself with such a open heart, and I was able to become my authentic self. I am able to express myself in a way that I believe God would want me to. I never did that before in my life. And I'm so very, I know I've just got to say the gratitude is always there. And I think I'll pass with that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much to Stephanie R. from Missouri. Okay, Patty O., you're up. Please go ahead.
Morning, everybody. My name is Patty O. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I live in Fort Pierce, Florida. It's amazing to me, every time I read the book, especially in the beginning, that it talks about things that I felt and experienced. It was like I never knew there were other people who felt as I did as I did, and, you know, were ashamed of my behavior as same as me. And in my opinion, this is the first miracle that has happened in every 12-step program I ever went to. Somebody talked about their compulsive overeating and their compulsive behaviors. Nobody talked to me about mine. Nobody demanded that I share my experience with compulsive overeating. But you talked about you, and all of a sudden, I was able to open the door to the possibility that I might have a problem with food. And just this paragraph reminds me also that when I came to my first 12-step program, which was Overeaters Anonymous, I was so suspicious. Like, I knew that you were going to make me sign a contract, you know, and I had to pay weekly fees and all that stuff. And that never happened. I kept waiting for it, but it never happened. And I don't think I've ever been to any kind of organization other than a 12-step recovery program that is so. You know, there's no leaders, there's no voting for president, there's none of that. And it so helps me to be comfortable staying here and listening to you. You set me free, everybody, when you share. And so thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Patty O. from Florida. Well, it looks like we've got 2 minutes. Would someone like to share? Anyone want to take us out with a little less than 2 minutes now?
I'll share. This is Nicole J.
Nicole
Hi,
Toby J.
I've got Nicole. Sorry. Thank you. Maybe the second hour. But Nicole, please go ahead with this little
thank
less than two
just
now.
Quick share. I've been in OA since 1994, and only in the last year have I learned how sponsoring and working with others can look. And never really liked sponsoring, never liked working with others. I like being on the receiving end. But reading and doing the steps this very thorough way this time around, and especially my sponsor and I spent a lot of time on step 12, and I got the understanding, and I got so much generosity and time from other people. And it's just transformed how I see the whole thing, that I really need to work with all of you, and I need to be helped, and I need to help others, and how that is a part. That is, I need to carry the message I need to be giving that clears out some of that selfishness and self-centeredness. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm learning how to do it and how joyful it can be. Thanks for letting me share that.
Awesome. Thank you, Nicole. Nicole, where are you from?
I am in Virginia.
In Virginia. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. And on that note, we're going to wrap things up. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. Please join us for another second awesome unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today's meeting, May 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,387. That's 21387 for today's meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Katie G. please read a vision for you?
Good morning, Amy. Thanks for taking the meeting today. This is Katie G. recovered in Boston. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you have not got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until